St. Paul says in our second reading, we know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. Labor pains. Yes, labor pains. We've only felt the first tremors. On the threshold of his passion, Jesus told his apostles, when a woman is in labor, she is in anguish because her hour has arrived. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the pain because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. So you also are now in anguish, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. We can apply these words to the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church because the Church has now entered the time of her passion. Just as the hour of Christ's passion came, just as the hour of the childbearing woman arrives, so also the hour has arrived for the Church to be crucified like her divine spouse, Jesus Christ. It is important to keep this big picture perspective because we are in the last times of this declining era and the sufferings ahead are very great. But don't be overwhelmed. Don't lose faith, hope, charity in the days ahead because everything has been foretold by our Blessed Mother. God is in control. God will prove victorious. Evil shall not prevail, and the kingdom of Satan will be utterly destroyed. We must not judge by appearances. Evil has grasped for power and media coverage all over the world. It is precisely when Satan will seem to be universal victor that Our Lady will crush his head. And we will enter, or whoever's alive at that time, into the new era, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, a peace that the world and the Church has never known before, the time of the Catholic Church's greatest splendor and purity and radiance, a time where God's will be done on earth as it is done in heaven by the angels and saints as we pray in the Our Father. We hear in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, a great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 diadems. We are in the greatest spiritual battle of all time. Saint Joseph, Our Lady, Saint Michael, all the angels and saints, the souls in purgatory, and all the humble disciples of Jesus, those who keep his commandments and pray to him and live for him. First, the red dragon, Satan and the demons, the damned human souls, and whoever belongs to Satan through mortal sin on this earth. The woman was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Here we have those birth pains again. Who's the woman? Both Our Lady and the Church. The birth pains do not refer to Bethlehem. They refer to Calvary. It is part of the dogma of Mary's perpetual virginity that she had no birth pains at Bethlehem. Jesus Christ came forth miraculously from a closed womb, like light passing through a crystal, manifesting the Christ child's divinity. He is God. The birth pains refer to Calvary. Mary gives birth to us spiritually in the person of the beloved disciple as she watches her firstborn son, the only child of her womb, die on the cross. For Jesus says to her, "Woman, behold your son." Thereby entrusting the beloved disciple, who represents you and I, to our Blessed Mother, to her care. We can also apply Revelation 12:2 to the Church. The woman was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Have you ever heard the phrase, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of Christians"? The leitmotif of the cross, as the tree of life, is inscribed in the very core of the history of salvation. sufferings endured for love of Jesus Christ, bear fruit in the conversion of sinners, the salvation of souls, the relief and release of the souls in purgatory so that they can go to heaven, and the transformation of the entire world. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. It is only through the labor pains of tribulation that the church and the world will be purified, and that we will enter the era of peace. For Our Lady of Fatima prophesied this coming era. In the end, My Immaculate Heart will triumph, and a period of peace will be granted to the world. We now turn to the first verse of our second reading, where St. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing, compared with the glory to be revealed for us." He's talking about heaven, the beatific vision. Herein, we see the essential connection between cross and glory, sufferings endured out of love for Jesus, and the eternal crown of glory reserved in heaven for the elect. Compared to eternity, what is time? It is a blink, a nanosecond. But even this image, this analogy, this comparison is wrong. Time ends. Eternity doesn't. Who can compare what is finite to what is infinite in duration and intensity? The greatest sufferings on earth and the greatest delights on earth are nothing compared to the eternal fire of hell and the eternal bliss of heaven. I look at the vast majority of our brothers and sisters today, and I pity them. I grieve over their ignorance, their lack of faith, their lack of prayer, their fear of death, their neglect of the soul. How pitiful. We're like scared animals caught in a cage of fear and panic and self-serving desperation, all because we fear a little virus that cannot touch the soul and can only harm the body. And even then, it only rarely brings death. Yet we lose charity. We lose love. We lose joy. We lose just being human. I'd rather live one day with joy and love than 1,000 days in a state of panic and fear and depressing anxiety, which is the fruit of the evil one. Our desperation shows our total lack of faith. We live as if God doesn't exist, as if heaven's a fable. We try to make this life heaven, and in so doing it becomes hell, because we have a disordered attachment to passing things, longevity, health, money, security, assets, comfort. We come to Holy Communion to receive the living God, Jesus Christ Himself, and we're thinking about protecting ourselves and our health. Is Mass and Holy Communion about you and me, about man? No, it's about God. It's about Him. It's about revering and thanking the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. No wonder our Holy Communions are fruitless, or even worse, sacrilegious, because we're more concerned about the body than the soul, more concerned about protection from germs than freedom from sin. Only sin can damn us. More concerned about remaining in time than preparing for eternity. More concerned about man than God. More filled with the spirit of the Antichrist than the spirit of truth. Love of God must be first. Otherwise, there is no charity towards your neighbor. Take away the vertical love of God, and the horizontal falls to pieces. Look at our country. The supreme fulfillment of this depravity will be the Antichrist, who will arrogate to himself the place reserved only for God. Then you will see the depravity to which man can descend, the hellish control and violence that can take over the world that has rejected God. For those who want to be saved, we must fight and oppose the Antichrist and his false miracles and deceiving wonders. As we approach the time of the great tribulation, we must repeat what St. Paul says, "I consider that the sufferings of the present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. It will be a time of persecution and martyrdom of the elect. So get ready. You cannot say you were not forewarned. It is not a fearful thing if we are living for Jesus, for he can do all things in those who trust in him. As St. John says, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out all fear. Do you want to hear what St. Thérèse says of these times in that beautiful book, Story of a Soul? She says, when thinking of the torments which will be the lot of Christians at the time of the Antichrist, I feel my heart leap with joy, and I would that these torments be reserved for me. Jesus, Jesus, if I wanted to write all my desires, I would have to borrow your book of life, for in it are reported all the actions of all the saints, and I would accomplish all of them for you, for Jesus, out of love. It's as if the saints in heaven are envious of our lot to be on earth in these times of distress, because the greater the sufferings, the greater the cross, the greater the manifestation of love for God, for Jesus, for Mary, for souls, as long as we persevere in the faith. As it was at the Passion of Christ, so it will be during the Passion and Crucifixion of the true Church. Who was faithful? Mostly women, and one apostle who stood with the woman. It's not in us to be faithful at the time of greatest trial. It's found in her. She doesn't flinch. She doesn't swoon. She doesn't take her eyes up Jesus. She doesn't even look at Satan and get scared. She doesn't take one step back or down from the cross. During her years of public ministry, she remained in the background in humility, prayer, self-effacement. But during his passion, she steps forward to show how fidelity does not retreat from the cross. She is the virgin most faithful. She is the perseverance and courage of the just. The beloved disciple was faithful at the foot of the cross to his crucified Redeemer and Master because he stood with the woman and looked to her eyes, her hand, and her heart for support. She is our consolation in this valley of tears. As we say in the Salve Regina, the Holy Queen, she is our life, our sweetness, our hope. Those will be found standing who stand with her. Those will be found loving, persevering in charity, who love with her. Those will be found enduring and persevering, who endure and persevere with her. Those will be found faithful, who are faithful to her. All the rest will fall away, will betray Jesus, will depart from the truth. It really does matter whether you consecrate yourself to Our Lady and pray and live the daily rosary. In the words of St. Maximilian Maria Kolbe, whose relic is in this altar, modern times are dominated by Satan and will be more so in the future. The conflict with hell cannot be engaged by men, even the most clever. The Immaculata alone has from God the promise of victory over Satan. However assumed into heaven, the Mother of God now requires our cooperation. She seeks souls who will consecrate themselves entirely to her, who will become in her hands effective instruments for the defeat of Satan and the spreading of God's kingdom upon earth. Heaven is only obtained by the way of the cross. Don't fear the cross. Fear sin. The cross brings us to heaven. Sin brings us to hell. Love and adore the cross. Embrace the cross. Hate and abhor sin. Repent of sin. Our Lady will teach you all you need to know, all you need to do if you wish to be saved. She's not hard to love. She really is incredible. The most pure, the most beautiful, the most loving and lovable and holy woman. It's up to you to decide. As for me and my house, we will love Our Lady, and so most love and serve the Lord.